Hey, y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Here we go.
Shut up and sit down. Would you cut?
Please welcome your host for tonight's podcast.
Man, I don't know about that last little part. Welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. I think that stands for gaming for something. I don't know. Hey, it's episode 374. More importantly, the date is June 11th, which if you're paying attention and you like video games, it's the day before things really kick off for E3. We are super excited. My name is Greg DeLacy, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. We have in the podcast today a small intimate gathering, starting off with Miss Nicole Radowski.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Nicole?
I'm trying not to say y'all.
Yeah, you know you do. Y'all doing good?
I'm fine.
You're going to say y'all at some point.
I will. I can't help it. It's ingrained in my DNA.
It is indeed. Thanks for making the show today, Nicole.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Excellent. And last but certainly not least, Mr. I'm taking lots and lots of medication to get rid of my headache, Mark Wright. Mark, are we feeling better?
I am. Yes, thank you. Hi, y'all. I'll do it for you, Nicole.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Mark, how many drugs did you take today?
I've taken 2 lots of ibuprofen and 1 lot of paracetamol. And it's finally going. So yeah, I didn't want to miss tonight at all. So
I wasn't going to let you miss. You were going to have to show up with a headache if that was the case.
Yeah. So yeah, people can catch me on Twitter, Xbox Live, and PSN. Markanix, MARKANIX.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you for making the show as well. And of course, in the fourth seat, nobody.
I like the little MIA thing, though. That's awesome.
it's funny, Zach, because my granddaughter's called Mia, and Jenny says, "What's Mia doing on your podcast?"
So, yeah. She's expanding her horizons. Yeah, everybody else had something else to do. Robin is, I believe, getting drunk with relatives. Fraser is doing whatever
with relatives.
Canadians do. Not getting drunk, though. He doesn't get drunk. I think he's just drinking a lot of syrup. So sugar high.
Sugar high. We'll go with that.
And then Kim is just building stuff.
is she keeping the builders fed and watered? And keeping the cats off the concrete, the freshly poured concrete?
I would let the cats run amok. I mean, you could actually pattern the concrete with cat paw prints. That could be pretty awesome. Yeah. The cats may not like it later on, especially when they try and lick their paws clean, but still. All right, well, enough of this. This is a video game podcast. We talk about video games. That's a big part of what we do. Life has been crazy busy for me this past week. Literally Sunday last week, I flew out to New Jersey. I was out there for basically 2 days, turned around, flew back. On Thursday, I flew out to Denver, and that was literally a day trip. So I got up in the morning, flew out at 6 a.m., landed, met with our clients, and then I turned back around and flew back at 6:30, landing at 11 p.m. There's no direct flights anymore. Everything's a stopover flight, which kills me. Yeah, okay, I could have paid for a direct flight, but Anyway, what is going on, Nicole? What?
Sorry.
The damn dog. What's going
yes,
on?
Yes, it is the damn dog. She got some new toys, and one of them stuck on her fur. She can't get it off. She's over there freaking out, not knowing what to do, running around with this stupid toy.
Pictures already didn't happen.
You can't see because she has run off into the laundry room.
Okay.
But it's just funny as hell. And then Mark got photobombed by a Yorkie.
Yeah, we've got our...
A Yorkie in Yorkshire? Really?
Yeah, Well, it's my father-in-law's. He's in hospital at the moment, sadly, so we're looking after his little doggy.
Aww. Well, hopefully, well wishes to your father-in-law. And Nicole's going to continue to torture her dog with taping. I think she's just taping stuff to the dog now at this
point. It is actually tape.
I bet you have a type of person who sellotapes fireworks to them on bonfire. July of the 4th, aren't you?
No, she got into the Jamberry box that I just got and had tape stuck on her, which is why the toy was stuck on her, because it taped it to her.
All right. We now know how Nicole keeps the dog quiet.
No, I would never do that to her. She's so sweet. No.
Yes. But no, you're right, Mark. July 4th is a rough time for most animals around here. Mm. They don't like the fire.
Yeah, similar to bonfire night around here in November. Jasper, as soon as it hit bonfire night. Yeah, Guy Fawkes night. When that guy years ago tried blowing up Parliament or some shit, I don't know. But yeah,
so you guys celebrate that? Wait,
apparently,
whatever.
If it means them selling fireworks and making money, yeah, they celebrate that shit. But okay. Jasper, as soon as he hears a firework go off, he's barking like crazy and he don't like it.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I guess I can't feel too sorry because I do like the fireworks. So the animals, just give them some volume. Just a little. Anyway, all right, video games. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I know it's going to be fairly quick this week because I think literally there's been about a collective three different games that we played this past week. Nicole, I know you were basically saying you hadn't really played much this past week. Let's talk about this real quickly, though, because it's kind of funny that we're coming into this time of year where a lot of gamers get excited. But right now you're having a little bit of the gaming doldrums. Is that correct?
Big time. It's like I look at all those games and I'm like, nope, don't want to play that. I don't want to play that. I don't want to play that. Skip, skip, skip. Yeah. So I went back to Old Faithful and I actually been playing a different mode of Gears 3. We went to I lost when we did that backwards compatible thing.
Right.
A lot of my stuff's missing. So I'm going back and re-getting things that I already had.
Oh, you mean trophies?
There's ribbons missing. I had to re-download maps, and to go through and get different battlements all over again for when we do Horde. Some of the things weren't unlocked when I had already unlocked them, so it was just interesting.
Is all the DLC working then on the backward compatible bit?
Yes. Right. It's really weird how you have to do it. It's very convoluted, actually. You have to go in and try, and it'll tell you when you go in through this 360 side that you need the DLC.
Right.
And so you go click on it in the store, and it says that, you know, you have to go back to the Xbox One to install it. But you have to go in there and give it a little bit of a clue that you need this DLC back in order for it to work.
Interesting.
So once I went in there and said I needed this DLC, it said it was ready for me to download on the X1. I go download it on the X1. Go back to the 360 and it installs it there. I'm like, whatever.
Okay. Emulation.
I'm like, make it more convoluted. I mean, please.
It's working. I mean, that's the plus side, right?
Yeah, because I was missing, like, one of my favorite maps is the map with the tornado on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not had nothing to do with the fact that I live in the South, I promise. It's just a cool map.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure that I could play that map. And Azura, also, absolute favorite map. Like, we've all decided that if there was a possibility to go live in Azura, we would. In our little togas and happily kill.
Azura, them. Not Missouri.
No, God, no. No offense, Kim.
So speaking of tornadoes, by the way, this just made me think of it. So I know I shared with the podcast team earlier, but when I was flying into Denver, I was going to use the restroom, and on the outside like hallway leading into the restroom, there was this sign. Of course, it's backwards, but tornado shelter. Does Denver get tornadoes? I didn't think they did, but apparently they do.
Utah has, so I can't see why Colorado wouldn't.
I just kind of thought they wouldn't. I don't know. I never heard of a tornado hitting down in Denver, but, you know, then again, I don't live there, so who knows. But that's the first time out of any airport I've ever been in where I saw a tornado shelter on the actual bathrooms, which, by the way, last place I really want to take refuge is a men's bathroom. It is not a pleasant experience. Yeah.
No.
Imagine getting trapped in there. No, I think I'd take chances outside.
You go through a lot of the airports in the South, and there will be that tornado shelter sign in a lot of different spots.
Right.
Generally the bathrooms, but there are a few, it's stairwells that take you down to certain areas, like those little captain's lounges.
The flight crew lounges, that kind of thing?
Yeah, those. They'll take you down there.
Okay. All right.
So, just depends. But I'm used to seeing them. I mean, we have them on schools and gyms, and I mean, they're everywhere.
It's one of those, like, novel things that I've never seen. That's the first time I've ever seen it in all of my years of flying, which is kind of funny. And we don't have earthquake shelters out here. You just take your chances wherever you're at.
Well, because, the ground is doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You're screwed.
Having been through several earthquakes myself, yeah, you just deal with whichever hole the ground just opened up.
For the record, I've never seen a hole in the ground open up during any of the earthquakes I've lived through.
Really? Well, yeah. We've had little cracks.
Cracks, yes, but like holes, not like, you know, you see in the movies.
Oh, yeah, now like
crazy,
not up,
like swallowing and, cars yes. up. Although. Although the Loma Prieta earthquake in San Francisco, that was pretty bad. I mean, you know, all things considered, it probably did have some ground opening up movement, but I wasn't there for it. I missed out on that.
You mean that film, San Andreas, wasn't a documentary?
Yes, it was.
All right. I thought it looked real.
Totally real. All right. Well, anyway, let's continue on. So you are back in Gears 3. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, because there's nothing I really want to play. I'm looking forward to E3 surprising me.
Right.
I'm like, please God, let it surprise me.
Have you even stopped playing Overwatch?
I have Overwatch, and I was actually supposed to play last night, but I couldn't find the people I was supposed to play with because I realized after I got offline, they changed their gamer tags.
Right.
So I was looking for the old ones.
All right.
Not the new ones.
They took advantage of the million plus names that were released. All right. So, yeah, I will be curious to hear more about Overwatch when you kind of get back into playing it. I know it is. It seems like every other podcast out there is talking about Overwatch. I just don't have a huge desire to play. I don't know.
It's good for team oriented stuff. Right, I mean, right. It's just.
I mean, I heard it's really good. But,
well, if you want stupid fun.
Okay.
I mean, really, if you want a game where you don't really have to think, like, right. You have to be a little more strategic when you play Halo.
Strategery.
Yes, you have to use strategery. So when you have to use a little more strategizing to get to from point A to point B, then yeah. But this is more... not necessarily laid back, but just you just don't have to think.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it, and I think
thinking
that's
is
what
optional.
The draw is. Yeah.
All right.
It's just well, that was like us with Borderlands. Like once we had these guns, we just went in and shot stuff and just enjoyed the, or were over high, you know, character-wise to the area. We just go in and shoot stuff because it was mindless fun and it was relaxing.
Okay. I mean, I get it. I think I'm just in very much an anti-Frasier game mode of I actually have been enjoying stories in my games. Frasier Moores, of course, we love him to death, but he is Mr. Anti-Story, doesn't want a story at all, just give him the game. Although I think that might be changing. I think if I'm not mistaken, he's been playing Uncharted 4, and I think he's liking it.
Yeah, he was saying the beginning bit was, last thing I saw was said it was boring.
Never mind, I take it all back, apparently.
But I haven't heard anything since then, and that was a while ago. And The beginning can be a little bit slow because it gives you a bit of a backstory, but I enjoyed it.
Look at the source, though. He's Canadian.
He's getting the right grumpy.
Doesn't like story. Yeah, I know. Totally.
Oh, but we're going to all go to Canada and start a commune, live next to Fraser and annoy the piss out of him.
Yeah.
No.
No. I thought, no.
All right. Mark, I know we have a shared game that we've been playing a ton of, The Witcher 3. Yep. You've been doing Blood and Wine. Yes. I've actually just been back in... I started some of the Hearts of Stone because I never actually played any of them.
Okay, yeah.
And I got to one of the first little side quests that I was taking on for it, and it required a sum of 5,000, Witcher dollars.
Yeah.
Florins, yes. And I didn't have 5,000 on me. I barely had 1,000. So I had to set off, and I've been taking on all kinds of Witcher contracts, which has actually been quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so I've been going back through and basically just raising money.
Right.
And playing a lot of Gwent because I love Gwent. Gwent is great.
Gwent. Fuck Gwent. It's so frustrating. It's for me anyway.
It's frustrating that you don't like Gwent.
I want to like it.
I don't like it either.
I even tried it again last night.
What is going on?
I tried it again last night. And the AI just completely spanked me with these stupid cards where it doubled its values and wiped half of my cards out. And I had nothing to retaliate with. Out of all the realms, you've got your different realms for your decks. I've only got one full deck, so I can't play the other realms. I don't know how to get the cards, apart from the ones I've found and gathered. And I can't beat the players to get to win their card.
So who are you playing against?
The guys with the yellow... Do you know when you talk to them and it'll say, play Gwent, some are in white and some are in yellow?
Right.
I presume the yellow ones are where you can get a reward?
So almost all of them, typically you can get a reward from them. The tougher the opponent, the better card they'll give.
Yeah.
But you can play like a lot of the pub bartenders you can play Gwent against. Sometimes some of the merchants you can play Gwent against.
Yeah.
But I found most often it's usually like the pubs where you can find a person to play Gwent against. And any chance you get, do that. And then also, of course, when you're with merchants and you're looking to see what they have for sale, they're selling cards almost all the time, especially some of the earlier merchants. And you'll see them off in the thing. And so buy those up. You can build your deck out. And then what's important is – and then that's – me going through puberty again, apparently. But when you're building your deck...
For the 16th time.
Yes. Shut up. So when you're building your deck, though, don't forget you can remove cards from your deck.
Yeah, the lower value ones, yeah.
Right.
You just need a minimum of 22 cards, don't you?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's advantageous to have a few extra because it'll randomly pull. And so, I always... kind of look and see, you know, what the best cards are. The spy cards are by far to me the most valuable, especially the lower value ones. So if it's like a one value spy card, that's the best.
What does the
spy card, it'll have a little an eyeball at the bottom of it,
right? Okay.
And that's the symbol for it. And so the spy card, what that does is you actually send that card into your opponent's deck.
I've seen them do that to my deck.
Yeah, and they'll get the points or give you the points. So if they send a spy card to you, you take those points on in your hand, so it kind of benefits you. But the real benefit is once they send the spy card to you, they actually will get two cards from their deck.
Right.
Some spy cards only give one card, but usually it's two cards. So it's a way for you to get two additional cards into your deck. And there's also the card, the dummy card, where it looks like it's
the decoy.
The decoy.
Yeah.
So the decoy is great. So if they use a spy card against you, use the decoy card, and it will replace the spy card. And the spy card will then go into your deck.
Right.
So then you can use a spy card against them and get two more cards back.
Yeah.
So
I need to learn the ways of a Gwent, I think, even though –
yes,
says I don't want to.
The ways of the Gwent.
Yeah, I know. Because these, like, the different symbols on the cards and that, like you say, the spy card, I haven't a clue what any of them mean. I think it's because I got so frustrated with it, I gave it up and I wasn't interested.
Right. Once you learn Gwent, I think you will really enjoy it. Yeah. But anyway, so The Witcher 3, the UI change actually for me has been the biggest part of my kind of re-falling in love with The Witcher 3. Really like what they've done with the changes. I mean, it's not in some respects totally dramatic. It still
slows down a bit, doesn't it? But it's cleaner.
Yeah, it's cleaner. There still is an inventory management that has to happen, but at least now it's much easier to compare stuff. Yeah. You can instantly compare the values of your weapons or your armor that you're picking up, and also things like crafting and alchemy. Those all can be tracked. So if you're trying to make a set of armor and you have some pieces to it that you're missing, you can tag that. And then whenever you go into a store or you're talking to a merchant, when they open up the inventory to show you what they have, if one of those items is in there, it'll get flagged for you and you'll see it flagged. So you know you can buy that to help you towards your crafting. Anyway, overall, this game is fantastic. And it makes me actually even more excited for the Cyberpunk game that they're going to be doing next. Because if they can give the level of polish and depth that they did in The Witcher 3 to Cyberpunk, that game is going to be off the charts great.
Wait till you see the Blood and Wine expansion. Oh man, that game is absolutely beautiful. Nicola, love that scenario. It's beautiful green pastures with colourful flowers everywhere. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the detail is unbelievable. Even areas you'll probably never go to, if you just wander around, the level of detail of some of the buildings, it's like a sort of depiction of old-type France, southern France, with the vineyards and stuff and that. And they all seem to have like a bit of a southern French accent type thing. And even the knights, all their armors, it's all bright gold and silver and bright colours and flowery and really showing off sort of like their sort of like colours and that.
I just imagine all of Europe looks like The Witcher 3. That's just, in my head, that's how it works. Anyway, all right, so that's it. That's me. That's done. I'm The Witcher 3. Super, super short for me. Mark, I believe you have been playing a couple of other games.
Well, I just want to touch on a bit more of this Blood and Wine expansion, because this expansion is huge. It's probably bigger than a lot of AAA games out there. I've been playing it since it came out now, quite a few hours into it. I don't know exactly, because I don't think it determines the difference between them. But I've put a lot of time into it, and I've just touched the edge of it, because I've been doing a lot of side quests. There's a lot of side quests to get some better Witcher gear, the green armor and swords and that. So they've been quite interesting. And like in the main game, the side quests unravel and they become really long, and you do one thing and then it tells you to do another. And the story production of it is brilliant. I'm liking the story on it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. To me, The Witcher 3 is out of all the RPGs, it is the benchmark for what a great RPG is now. Yeah. It has supplanted Skyrim for me, Fallout as well, even Mass Effect.
Yeah.
To me, The Witcher really is probably the number one all-time RPG in my eyes.
Yeah. This game has been holding me back from finishing Uncharted 4 in one go. And I think it's probably the only game what can do that at the moment for me. I've played more of Blood and Wine than I have of Uncharted 4. And that is my second game I've played this week, which is Uncharted 4.
Right.
I've progressed quite nicely into it. I think I'm on chapter 15, just out of chapter 15 now. So I think I'm about halfway through.
20? Oh, okay. I don't know how many chapters there are. Okay.
I don't, to be honest. I haven't looked. I didn't want any insight into the game. I didn't want any spoilers. That's why I plumbed and bought the game, because I didn't want it spoiling. And, oh, man, that game is superb. It's like playing a movie. Like Robin was saying last week, I had so much joy when Robin had to say how good that game was on a PS4. because we know how much he loves a PS4, bless him. But yeah, the facial animations on the characters, the reflections in their eyes, and again, all the little details with the background stuff, where normally developers would cheat and they wouldn't fill them in or whatever. Oh, right. The level of detail is untrue. It's such a gorgeous game.
I've heard the opening section, if you will, really shows off that, like, to its fullest. Like, they, because isn't it like a tour of his house or something to that effect, or kind of walking through, like, kind of memory kind of scenario, and there's all kinds of detail in every little area.
And there's a nice little Easter egg. If you had a PS1 back in the day, there's a nice little Easter egg there at the beginning in the, like, the little tutorial setup.
Okay.
So, the story's coming along nicely. I'm not going to give any spoilers on it, but I've got to the point now where I've just about found the treasure, as you do in all these types of games. So, and you've got a villain type character who's also after the treasure, as in your usual Uncharted scenarios. Right. So yeah, he's getting interesting now.
All right. Okay. Well, clearly you've played a couple really poor games this past week.
Probably two of the best games ever.
Well, before we move on, I don't know if there's anybody in the chat we want to throw out any recognition to. I always want to make sure we cover our bases there.
Teflon was sitting in hiding. And
he's like that. He's a sneaky little bastard.
And Step J was talking about releasing their first game on iOS and Android called Catch Co.
Awesome. Well, hello, Teflon and Step J. By the way, Viva La Pedros, I heard him on their podcast complaining about us always giving him a hard time every time he came into the room.
I don't give him a hard time.
No, it's just me, really. I give him a hard time.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
I have no issues with him at all, other than the fact that he is the enemy and our competitors coming up in our little competition, our gaming decathlon. So I have to give him a hard time. You know, that's what we would do, is it not? I don't know what else we would do. I mean, we kind of have to give Step J a hard time too, but I mean, I don't want to give him too hard of a time because he is really good at Halo, so I don't want to piss him off. So, maybe we'll just move on. Let's move on. Let's talk about, before we get into news from this past week, I reached out to Fraser Moores, who has been sadly absent from the podcast for a few weeks. Again, doing a lot of Canadian things, doing his own little, you know, syrup tastings.
He's even missed some of his Game Puncher episodes as well.
I know. He's been slacking. But he rose to the occasion and he sent me in his predictions for E3. So I will give his predictions for E3 just so we have them all out there and we can go into E3 knowing what we've predicted and then seeing how badly we've done, although we get to talk about one of those predictions later on. But anyway, I digress. Fraser Moores, here we go. Here are some predictions in no particular order, mind you. Microsoft, he says they will announce a slim Xbox with reduced functionality for a killer cost. There will be no 4K console announced, so the Scorpio will not be announced, but he's saying the slim is in, and it's going to have some stuff pulled out of it to get it down to a probably a lower cost than what we have out there now. I guess that's what he's saying there. The big drop for Microsoft will be Minecraft related. He said HoloLens will be notable by its absence, which I think that's a really solid prediction because I don't think they're going to bring it to the conference. He said backwards compatibility for Red Dead Redemption. Maybe then people can shut up about it. but he said no Red Dead 2 though. Lulls. On to Sony. VR, 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 including the new console. They need to run the shite. There have been rumors that basically the PS4 Neo is being introduced because it's going to run VR better.
But there has been, I don't know if it's in our news, but
So one of the things, by the way, is let me finish his predictions and then we'll talk about that in a second. So then he also says Jack and Daxter are back. I think that's a great prediction as well. Last Guardian gets a release date, not just a year. I don't know why I'm typing this. It's utter bollocks. And then he says Bethesda, Elder Scrolls game, and new Wolfenstein will be coming out. Nothing of note from Nintendo, and Capcom will reduce that's something apparently. They will produce and announce Resident Evil 7. So some solid predictions in there. I don't know about nothing of note from Nintendo. I think they will do something that will get some people's attention. I'm still betting on it being Zelda. Going back over his Last Guardian, getting a release date, I think that's Fraser. He played it safe on a few of these. Let's just call it what it is. I think we all agree there's going to be a slim announced at this point. The HoloLens, I think that's a smart prediction. And the Jack and Daxter one, I also think that's a solid one. So not bad, Fraser Moores, not bad. All right, so there was plenty of news that came out this past week. A lot of news, a lot of leaks. I mean, it was like somebody turned the faucet full blast. There were all kinds of leaks coming out. However, we're not going to talk about the leaks. And the reason why I don't want to talk about the leaks, I don't want to spoil E3 for everybody. And that's one of the things that, unfortunately, when you're paying attention to gaming news, often because leaks do come out and they will spoil what are going to be announced at the conferences. So I thought, you know what, there were enough news items that were like actual announcements that came out this past week that we'll talk about those. We will hold off on talking about leaks or rumors, and we'll just let E3 happen. I mean, it starts tomorrow, so it's not like we're asking you to wait for a long period of time, folks. Mark, this, I know you were going to say something. So
yeah, this always puzzles me. It happened last year as well, more prominently, and we did see a lot of surprises. There's a lot of announcements prior to E3. You'd think they'd wait for the actual show. And this seemed to be a big thing last year, but I think you got it right last year because you said, oh, well, we'll still see some surprises. And I think last year's E3 was really good. Right. And there was still a lot of stuff we didn't know. So if stuff like this is being announced already, what we're going to go through in a minute, I think this year's E3 is going to be better than ever.
Yeah. I mean, so the stuff that got announced this past week, I think what we can take from that is that likely these games were not going to be making somebody's conference.
Yeah.
They weren't going to be getting the spotlight. So the best way for them to get some of that spotlight was to announce before E3 kicks off. And so that's really, I think, where we should be taking, these announcements, why they were being announced this past week. But there was some really interesting stuff that happened. First round of news items that came out. Agents of Mayhem was announced. It got a trailer. Now, this is from Volition, the creators of Saints Row. And if you're looking at the trailer, it is definitely a more unique art style. It does not have a Saints Row vibe at all. However, I do believe this is tied into the Saints Row universe somehow.
Right.
So a lot of people were trying to say it was kind of a combination, maybe like a Borderlands Crackdown kind of mashup, so to speak, with a little Team Fortress thrown in there for good measure. I don't know, but I'm interested. It looks like it's got four playable characters, but they were saying, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, they were saying there was going to be up to 12 different types of characters you could play. So 12 different characters. They all have kind of different personalities, which seems to be kind of a new thing. Releasing these shooters with playable characters with different kinds of personalities as opposed to just different loadouts. Overwatch, trying to think of Evolve had different characters that all have different personality quirks. What's the other one that just got released out by Gearbox? Battleborn. Also similar kind of deal. So But yeah, I mean, Volition, I like what they do. I like what they've done in the past. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Probably the biggest news of the entire E3. I mean, this is really the biggest news of probably the year.
And one of my predictions.
And one of your predictions, Mark. Yes. In fact, talk about luck of the draw. Yeah. Had you, we waited till this week to do our predictions, yeah, you wouldn't have been able to make this one. No. XCOM 2 coming to consoles September 6th. The game they said they weren't going to bring to consoles because they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So here's my theory on this. XCOM 2 came out. It was all about mod support. They made the announcement. They brought the game, basically bring it to PC. They had foregone doing a console version early on. And Fallout 4 came out. And, you know, basically Bethesda kind of, you know, just like whipped it out and threw it on stage and was like, hey, we're bringing mod support to the consoles. And no doubt that probably got Praxis at that point in time into conversations with the console makers saying, hey, we'd love to do this too. So, we're going to focus on the PC first, but if we can do mod support, then we'll bring this game to the consoles. So I'm excited for it. I don't know if they're going to do mod support, to be honest, but I have to imagine that was the true hang up before. And we know that the mod support for Fallout 4 has already been very, very popular. So, this was a very exciting announcement. And right after that, of course, they announced just this past couple days that XCOM Enemy Within mm-hmm. also was released out on backwards compatibility. And I was excited and super hyped because I was like, yes, I have that digitally. And then I realized, no, I did not have it digitally. I had bought the disc version from Amazon and I started to weep because I sold it. Yeah. Oops. And in fact, I made you cry a little bit, Mark, because you were excited.
Yeah, I came off from work all excited because I played, obviously, XCOM Enemy Unknown, and I wanted to play the extra content in Enemy Within. And I spent ages looking for this, and I'm thinking, oh, is it backward compatible yet? So I did a bit of a search and found out it was. And when I sent a few messages your way saying, I can't find it. And you said, oh, I'll have a look on my side.
Right. I had your hopes way high. Yeah. Nicole, did you ever play XCOM? Did you ever try it?
No. I didn't know what it was.
Did you have a desire?
I remember seeing it advertised and a lot of people like mumbling in the background about it, but nobody ever came out and said, well, until you wet your pants about it, that it was like freaking phenomenal. And I still don't have a clue what the damn game's about.
Well, you'll find out in 5 days.
Yes.
You'll get it.
Yes.
So it was one of those that, you know, if anybody ever cared to go ahead and give me the rundown, I would actually have paid attention. And
I believe we gave a rundown at some point in time, but that's fine.
I might not have been on that day.
That's true. That is also true. And well before, quite honestly, even you guys were on the team, well before that, I mean, this is going way back with Chinny and Christopher Matthew on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
XCOM was the bee's knees. And I think a big part of the draw for XCOM for me is that I literally changed the names of all my squad mates to people I know.
Yeah.
So having them die and having them being killed by aliens has a much more personable feel. And I know that is like universally what a lot of people say they like about the game.
Yeah. And you get a memorial wall as well, don't you? So they're there forever. All the people
on
your squad who's kicked the bucket because you've done something wrong. You haven't done the tactics right or something.
Right. And you can see what operation they died on. And sometimes it's a bloodbath. Like you lose all 6 of your people. You're like, anyway.
And Nicole's playing games while we're trying to podcast.
That's okay.
It's a true skill game. I'm supporting my friends.
Got to support your friends. So this announcement, this next one actually was also a timely announcement for this podcast because just, I want to say, a week or two prior, we had been talking about this very specific thing. And that is Microsoft officially announced that they are not going to be bringing the DVR feature coming to Xbox One. And so they're choosing to focus in on gaming. and a games first mentality. And so they're, you know, just once again, kind of trying to further distance themselves from the whole TV stuff. But gosh, I want to say it was just, 2 weeks back? And Robin was talking about how he was really hoping they were going to bring DVR features to the Xbox One. Nicole, I believe you were talking about that as well. And so, you know, in one fell swoop.
They kicked our ass in one fell swoop.
Yes, dreams dashed.
Crashed all. I know. Like shattered every dream we ever had.
Damn it. You know, in the ashes of the DVR announcement, we got some positive news. Injustice 2 was announced. So this is the new, can't think of their names right now, but the Mortal Kombat developers, their DC Comics universe version of Mortal Kombat, basically, Injustice 2. But the interesting part about this announcement is the gameplay part of it, because every time you play a match in Injustice 2, there's going to be loot drops, and the loot that's dropping is basically going to be stuff that you can use to create different types of armor sets for your characters. I believe, grain of salt with this one, but I believe it also could potentially give you some bonuses in the game. So it could be actually game changing stuff as well. That was huge, because that's not been seen in fighting games ever. I mean, we've never had loot drops as far as I know. So you've never been able to kind of win stuff after a match. And most importantly, you've never had things that impacted gameplay in this fashion. So, you know, you call it luck of the draw. You get some stuff and it makes your character potentially more potent. it's going to be really interesting how they go about the balancing, because this really is potentially a balance breaking aspect of the game. I know we're not big fighting game people.
I like them casually. I'm not
right.
Super into them, and I don't know all the special moves. I personally really enjoy Killer Instinct. That's my go-to fighting game at the moment. I've got Injustice, the first one, on the PS4. I got it cheap ages ago in a sale, but I think it's been on PS Plus since then.
Right.
But yeah, Killer Instinct's the go-to game for me.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Injustice had a pretty good story mode. I don't know what to think of this. I'm really curious to see what the fighting community says about this when it comes out, because again, it's a real unique situation. You're talking about potentially stuff that impacts the balance of the game. Maybe it's going to be fairly obvious what kind of what the perks will be. So there will be counters to that. You just have to be wary of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, there we go. I know this is a big shocker. Telltale is making another Walking Dead game, to the surprise of nobody.
Right.
The Walking Dead season 3 will be coming out in the fall 2016. So that's good news. I think I'm more curious to see what they do with the Batman game, the Telltale Batman game. That should be getting talked about at E3, I would think.
I would have preferred a sequel to The Wolf Among Us before another season of Walking Dead. And I know Kim would as well. I'm not disappointed with that, because I love The Walking Dead seasons 1 and 2, but I would have preferred Wolf Among Us first.
Yeah, and do you think we get a Wolf Among Us sequel?
I don't know now, because it's been such a long time, hasn't it? I'm still hopeful. I want one. So.
Yeah, well, we will see. Next piece of news. This was a bit of a disappointment. We had heard rumors, but it was made official. Horizon Zero Dawn was delayed. So that will no longer be coming in 2016. That will be coming February 28th, 2017.
I didn't even know it had a release date, to be honest. Or was it just a year they gave?
Yeah, it was just a year. They hadn't given a specific release date, but they pushed it out of 2016. You know, I know many people were disappointed, but I think they want to... Well, it's potentially two different things. In some respects, I'm almost thinking they want to clear the path a little bit for VR, for PSVR. But also, they have The Last Guardian, from my understanding, is still planning on coming out this year. So, as I said before, in my predictions, I think that's going to be the tentpole game for Sony in the holiday lineup. And maybe they just wanted to push Zero Dawn out, because it doesn't seem like it's a big push. So I don't know if it's really for extra polish or just a timing situation, if they wanted to kind of move it into its own space. And February is a great time for a game to launch if it's a true big, you know, hitter. And last but not least, and this one actually was pretty big. Sony confirmed the existence of the PS Neo. Or the PS4 Neo. So this is the PS4 1.5, you know, whatever you want to call it, the PS4 4K. It is their upgraded mid-cycle console. Andrew House, fondly known as the Keebler Elf, because he really does remind me of a Keebler Elf. He was speaking with the Financial Times, and he said the console will be a high-end PS4. That supports 4K resolutions and enhanced graphics and will be more expensive than the current $350 model. So that was basically the info we got. We don't have any specs. We don't have any time frames, other than the fact that Sony has again come out and said that they're not going to talk about the PS4 Neo at E3.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, if you weren't going to say that. Yeah, they have said that they will not be showing it this E3.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a misstep or if this is a smart thing.
No, they'll be doing it. They'll be doing their usual annual thing. Late summer, they had one last year, the PSX experience, PlayStation experience, PSX in Paris, was it, last year? So they'll do that.
Nicole, thoughts?
Yes. No, you don't want my thoughts right now. Moving on.
No, by all means.
No, my mind went to the gutter. We're good.
Okay, never mind.
He said PSX.
PSX, yes. Many PlayStation fans would agree, though, it is PSX. All right. So before we get off of the news, I thought we'd just run through real quickly the conference schedules. Anybody listening who doesn't know kind of when the conferences are going, I thought, you know, we could do a little PSA and walk through it and read off when they're going to be. So, Nicola, why don't we have you walk through the conference schedule? I know you weren't expecting it. I'm just throwing this on your lap.
It's right there. No, it's right there. I had already scrolled down to it, but I'm just looking at that going, ugh. I know that you just want the conference times.
Yeah.
All right, for EA, June 12th, 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. You're making me do math because I'm like, well, what time is that for me? And the UK peeps, you totally left them out.
I did nothing of the kind. No, this was a schedule. Yes, I found the schedule. Nobody cares about Europe, and so they never post the European times. But again,
some ungodly hour of the morning.
If you use my math, it almost works, because I think if you add 5 hours and subtract one, maybe two, you get the European time frame.
Well, you're actually right. No. If you add 5 hours to the east, then you do get our time.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. So you do learn something on this podcast as well.
Yes. There we go.
Maybe not.
The one thing. All right, so once again, on the 12th, EA, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 10 in the UK. Bethesda will be 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Microsoft.
3 a.m. UK time. Yeah. I'm doing the math for you.
You want a cowboy cookie? I have some.
I don't know what isn't a cowboy cookie? No.
That's no.
Prairie cookie. Never mind. I don't want prairie biscuit.
No, these are real cookies. They actually were made popular in the White House by the Bushes. But anyway,
okay.
They're Texas-style cookies, and they're like that big.
All right.
Anyway, Microsoft on the 13th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific and 12:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm over here doing math. My eyes keep going up because I'm looking at that, you know, big math chalkboard I have in the sky.
Right.
PC gaming show on the 13th also at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern. Ubisoft. I'm still holding out luck for those guys. June 13th, 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. Sony, June 13th also, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. And scrolling. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
That's everybody. That's all the big guys.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting this year that it seems like all the press conferences are going to be Sunday and Monday. Nintendo, I think they're going to have a Nintendo Direct. I don't recall, or if they're just going to be streaming Zelda for ungod amounts of hours. Although Nintendo seems that they have been backpedaling from their stance of they weren't going to do anything more than Zelda. So I expect we'll see some other games from Nintendo over the course of E3. So there you go. That's your schedule for the next couple of days. And then, of course, E3 kicks off in proper on Tuesday the 14th, 15th, and 16th. If I'm doing my math right.
And we know how your math is.
I know, it's all screwed up. But anyway, so there we go. E3, it is really right around the corner. By the time you're going to be hearing this podcast, likely it will be just hours away, especially if you're downloading it, because Mark is going to get it up bright and early. Right, Mark?
Yes, boss.
I like it. All right. Events and happenings for June 11th through the 17th. Nicole, I'll take this on. Okay. Don't worry. I got this covered. These are all the games that are going to be coming
you
through.
You can handle all of that?
I'm ready. This is a huge list. Huge. Here we go. Dead by Daylight. I couldn't even do it right. Dead by Daylight on PC, June 14th. Then The Elder Scrolls Online Dark Brotherhood for Xbox One and PS4 on June 14th. June 14th. And finally, Bard's Gold for PS4 and Vita on June 17th. And those are all the video games you're going to see next week.
No wonder you wanted to do them. And you couldn't even get it right.
Because it's three.
No, I know. I couldn't even get it right.
You had
it was
one
just
job, a... Greg. One job.
Damn it. It's been actually interesting. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to all of the arcade releases. I say arcade releases, but the ID at Xbox, the independent games on PS PlayStation Store. I don't know if they give it a special name or they just call them indies. We'll just call them indies. But there was a ton of games that just quietly got released last week. I kept seeing like popping up. Oh, this is really – this is now on. And I was like, okay, all right. So I suspect
we went through and looked at this list when I did it last week, and we were like, where the hell did all this crap come from?
Right, right.
And it was a bunch of really weird names and games we hadn't heard of. It was just stuff that was – like you said, independent, out of the blue, not anything from major developers.
Yeah, I just wonder if they were just trying to get it out before E3 hit. I don't know. I can't imagine that's a great strategy. I don't know. All right. So next week on the 16th, the Xbox Games with Gold games swap out. So I wanted to just make sure we make that so this way, if you're listening to this, remember on the 16th, you will no longer be able to get Goat Simulator, but you will be able to get The Crew for Xbox One. And then for the backwards compatible games, Super Meat Boy will no longer be available after the 16th, and you will be able to get XCOM Enemy Unknown starting on the 16th. Highly recommend picking that up.
And
okay, and
unlike the amateurs last week, we have the PS Plus games for June, don't we, Greg?
We do.
Oh, don't even do that.
We do. Mark, if
they
you would like to.
They announced them.
Mark, maybe
they
you
had
should
last
make...
week. On the PS4, we've got NBA 2K16, and we have Gone Home Console Edition So I'm quite interested in Gone Home, actually. I've downloaded it. I've not even looked at it yet, but it's supposed to be good.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's one of those games that I think got a lot of divisive opinions upon it. A lot of people loved it. Yeah. And I would say the majority of the press media really loved it. But I did see quite a bit of people giving it the walking simulator moniker. And more and more that's having a negative connotation now when people are talking about it. Whereas at first it was just a way to describe it, but a lot of people now are like, oh, it's another walking simulator. So I don't know what to think. I have to imagine it has some entertainment value.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, well, I've got a week off work now, three weeks, so I'll probably give it a go for next week, and if I'm on next week, I'll tell you all about that. Yeah. For the PS3, we have Echo Chrome, which is one of those Monument Valley-type puzzle games, and Siren Blood Curse, which is all the episodes 1 to 12. It's like an episodic horror story. And on the PS Vita, we have Little Deviants, which is also available on PS4, incidentally. And God of War Chains of Olympus, which is a PSP game, which has been converted for the Vita, but it's still a great game.
All right. Excellent. So real quickly, if you're listening to this, I apologize. I think things are coming through a little Skypey, so I don't know.
You've got that clicky noise again, Greg, like you used to.
Yeah. And you guys are Skypey on your end too, so I don't know. I don't know quite what's going on. I don't hear the clicking on my end. I do hear you guys being Skypey. Maybe it's on this end. Maybe it's on your end. Maybe it's just the internet.
Maybe we could stop talking about people's ends.
Maybe. All right. Ongoing within the community, we have Forza 6. That is the Forza 6 track WEC Championship League continuing on. Basically, they're doing BTCC racing every Wednesday. If you want to take part in this, just reach out to the Henwood, at the Henwood, or at ParsnipNose3000, and they will get you in on the details there. We had some victories achieved this past week. Now, victories achieved, that is a contest. It's super simple. We are giving away free money. That's basically what this amounts to. If you complete a game, real simply, take a picture with your cell phone of your face and the game behind you. Preferably the end credits or maybe the final completion, achievement or trophy, whatever it might be, a Steam achievement. And then take that, go to Twitter, and send that picture along with a message to us at g4te.com. You need to spell dot, and send that off with hashtag victory achieved in the message, and let us know the game you beat, and you'll be entered into a contest. And this contest runs from now until August 31st is the next deadline. And if you get selected, and it's a random draw, but the more games you win, the better your odds are. Basically, if you get selected, you get to choose what you want in $20 of Spacebox or PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam Bucks. We really won't give you Spacebox. We will give you PSN credits, Xbox Live credits, or Steam credits in the amount of $20 US or £15 UK. Is it pounds British sterling? Is that the correct?
It certainly is.
There you go. All right. So that said, Hardly Dan finished Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Amaras 89 finished Party Hard. I was going to say Pretty Hard. Mind out of the gutter. He also finished Frankenstein Master of Death. I don't know where he finds these games. Seriously, I don't know where he finds them. Jay Brones finished Gone Home. Adamski 86 finished Doom. Steffi Business finished Gone Home as well. Caliburn M finished Fallout 4 Automatron. Mr. Miyagi 1984 finished Uncharted 4. And Colin for the Win also finished Gone Home. Thinking Gone Home was a free PS Plus game. I don't know. Call me silly.
And maybe not a long one at that.
Yeah, it sounds like that might be. Also, of course, we probably want to give special mention to the completion chart, which basically this is just Robin Tate being very generous. So our very own Bongo the Sane has a little contest going where the more games you finish in the victory achieved, the more points you will acquire. And the end of this basically wraps up at our yearly charity drive, Extra Life. And so basically he'll be giving away a Overseas Connection t-shirt and mug for the winner. He claims there will be a ticket to somewhere, but there's not a ticket to anywhere.
ticket to hell.
Yeah, maybe. Basically, every game you complete that's over 4 hours long, you get a full point. If you complete something that short or maybe considered DLC, under 4 hours, basically all the games that Gary Lever plays, then you only get half a point. And of course, what ends up happening is each of those points get converted into dollars, and Bongo will have to match that with a donation to Extra Life. So, basically the more games you complete, the more expensive it gets for Robin Tate. So it's a win-win if you ask me. Sorry, Robin.
And it's currently at $184.50, yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah, that is, and we're only at June 11th. Mm. Think of all the good we can do by September, October timeframe this year. Keep winning and beating games, folks. All right, it's time to wrap things up. Mark, why don't you walk us through the closing notes?
Closing notes, here we go. To be part of a conversation when we weekly broadcast on a Saturday night at 11 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. West Coast and 6 p.m. East Coast, you can find us on Twitch.tv /G4TE, or if you like subdomains like Parsnip does, live.g4te.com, so you can join us live. You can email the show at podcast@g4te.com. We've not had an email for absolutely ages ever, Greg. We need some emails, please, people.
No, yeah. Simon sent us one.
Yeah, Simon sent us one not too long ago. You know, I really don't ask for them in earnest, just because I know it's a challenge for our community sometimes to gather up. I know we get a lot of people that participate through Facebook. I know we get a lot of people that participate through Twitter. So I don't get too chuffed about the emails. We have a lot of back and forth with everybody. And I mean, let's face it, we just like to hear ourselves talk.
You might. you can tweet us at @OC_podcast. We've got a Twitter account for the G4T, which Bongo runs, which is @G4TDOTCOM. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook group, which is fb.g4te.com. There's a prize fund pool we have for all the victories achieved, and you can donate to that only if you want to. We don't force anyone to. This is all free. We do it because we love you guys. But if you do have a bit of spare change, you want to drop it into our prize fund pool, you can go to donate.g4t.com. And we are on iTunes and Stitcher, and as well as YouTube, where we welcome reviews on there as well, please. 5-star reviews are even better.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it. So let's do some shout outs, and we can, it's going to be a short one. But it happens. It happens. Short to the point. We covered everything we can. We're done rambling. Let's do some shout outs, Nicole.
To you guys. Is that better?
You guys.
You guys, instead of the other word. It's always fun to podcast with you guys. And see, I'm trying. It's really hard, though. And I it was short but sweet, but we had a good time for Step J and Teflon. Also, True Skills, enjoying this little game that they've just put out. It's called Catch Co. So, cheers to them too. And over to Mark.
I want to shout out the Wales international football team for winning their first match of Euro 2016 today. And I want to shout out England for drawing. Although they seem to play quite well, they let one in right at the end, so not good for us, really. But, yep, yeah, shout out to them as well. Shout out to everyone who's been in the chat, and to you guys for showing up tonight.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So, I feel like there's something we missed. There was somebody supposed to give a shout out for.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Special mentions, weren't there?
Yes. So maybe one of you can look up that special mention because I don't see it at the moment. Yeah. But I will, of course, shout out the two of you who are making the podcast. You guys care. Everybody else in the podcast team does not have the commitment or the the dedication that you guys do. Nicole, I have to give huge props to you. In fact, before we go, it's funny. We forgot one little thing. And the reason why we forgot it is because of this very mention I was going to be giving, which is podcast trivia, Nicole. You slam dunked it. You shut Mark out last week because Mark decided he wanted to spend time.
Well, I don't think I could have won anyway, because was she 3 points in front?
I believe so, but no, she sealed it last week.
Yeah.
You still had a chance. Yeah, you had a chance. Mm. But she sealed it with the 3 points. So that basically, Nicole, means you are season one winner for podcast trivia. It also means now that you get the podcast trivia questions given to you right now, because I forgot. We do have a couple E3 podcast trivia questions. Yeah, right. I just completely forgot about it because Nicole had crushed you and you decided you didn't want to show up. And so it was one of those things. But here we go. E3. The first E3 was held in Los Angeles in 1995. What year was the first time E3 was held somewhere other than Los Angeles? Yeah? You guys all with me here?
Yeah.
When was E3 not held in Los Angeles? Was it A, 1997, B, 1999, C, 2001, or D, 2003?
Sorry, I was going up to trivia answers.
That's okay. I'm right there with you.
Oh, right. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I was hoping for an option that there was none of them, that it was never not in LA.
So A, 1997, B, 1999, C, 2001, or D, 2003. What year was E3 not held in Los Angeles?
I'm guessing
as well. All right, so we are locked in. Nicole has said C, 2001, and Mark has said B, 1999. The correct answer is A, 1997. Wow. It was held in Atlanta, right. Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, cool. I'd have gone to that.
You could have gone to that. Yeah, that's quite a departure from Los Angeles. All right. For the final trivia question, of season one. Again, thank you, Jason Johnson. Just want to say you've done a fantastic job with the trivia. What is the name of the sword the player character uses in Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor?
Oh, man, I love this game. I'll win it when I get the options.
All right. No options. You have to remember. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. So option number one, A, is it – oh, Jesus Christ. I just realized I have to read these names. Yeah. Thank you, Jason Johnson, for these names. Is it Durhal? Is it B, Yurfail? And I don't know that I'm saying these properly, so bear with me. Is it C, Azkar, or D, Acharn?
Oh, shit.
A, Durhal, and that's D-I-R-H-A-E-L. So I believe that would be Durhal. Or B, Urfail, U-R-F-A-E-L. C, Azkar, or D, Acharn, or Acharn.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right, I think I know.
All right, I will take your answers now. Okay.
I'm like, I had no clue.
Said C, which I have to go back, is Azkar. And Mark has said B, which is Urfael.
It could have been A, though. It's either A or B. I'm positive.
And the correct answer is B, Urfael. Yes.
Yay, Mark got one.
Does that mean winner takes all? Does that mean I win everything now?
It does not.
No.
Oh, sorry to say.
You still suck.
But what that does mean, Mark, is that you get the privilege of queuing up our outro music because this podcast is done.
It's not quite done. The two special requests we've got. We've got a new listener who's called Joe Richardson, and he's from Vancouver, Washington State, and he's a fellow jiu-jitsu dad who goes with our good friend Parsip Knows, and he's a PS4 gamer. So
Wait a minute. He does jiu-jitsu with Parsnip.
Yeah.
And his first
thing, need to send him some money to kick Parsnip's ass.
I don't think we need to actually send it. No. Likely he just wants to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage him. Maybe a couple nut shots. Just, you know, when you're grappling,
throw
whatever.
That out there.
Yeah. Love you, Parsnip.
Yeah, so that's Joe Richardson. And we've also got a message that one of our community members, T-Mank71, Tim Kirsch, he's asking for thoughts and prayers for his daughter at the moment. She's been involved in an accident and she's had to have surgery and she's quite poor at the moment. So we wish your daughter all the very best and hope she makes a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You have us, and we will absolutely be sending prayers your way. Hopefully she does recover quickly, and everybody can look back on this at some point and look back on it as a life experience and nothing other than that. All right. With that note, I think we can officially put this podcast to rest. Happy E3, everybody. I think we're going to try and do some kind of wrap-up show come Tuesday-ish. And so just keep an eye out for that. We'll try and make some announcements later this week once we get our ducks in a row. And Mark,
yep,
cue that music.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection Podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. See you same time next week.
So you have a party going on, Mark?
Apparently.
Yeah. Just these gas bags are going to have to shut up in a minute.
Gas bags? Did you just call your wife a gas bag?
All three of them. Yeah.
Who?
You three.
What?
It's all the Canadian.
Misha.
I'll take all our mutual pork, please.
And still no dog parks, which is fine because I think those things are evil.
Harsh.
What?
Evil.
They are. Oh my God. I took Bailey once and came back. She had like 4 ticks on her and like 1,000 fleas. Like I've gone back to Gears because I'm so bored.
Yeah. It happens.
There.
I wish I had that problem. I turn the console on, I'll sit there for half an hour deciding which game I'm going to play because I've got that many backlogs.
Speak.
All right. We are done.
Yay.
Speak.
That was a quick
one. Oh, sorry, Mark. I deleted you.
The Twitch YouTube export, Mark, if you right, can okay. do the audio.
Yeah, I'll do that. Tomorrow.
And we'll go from there.
Right, okay.
All right, guys.
No. What? Now. Do it now.
Cracking the whip. Y'all have a good night, okay?
Okay, y'all.
Yeah, y'all too. Is that better? Yeah. You know how hard that was? Y'all have no idea.
I could see it. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.